For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Our top story on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter happening today. It is Friday. We've certainly been through the ringer collectively over the past couple of weeks, so we just thought maybe we'd take this last hour of this week to talk about something all of us have an opinion on, but it's also something that unites us. Food and restaurants.
Issues that matter to you. Expanded on the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour.
Scott Cherry has been reviewing restaurants for the Tulsa World since 1992, which I don't know how many people know this, was actually the beginning of his second stint with the Tulsa World. You were a sports reporter prior.
I was. Actually, it was 1999. Not quite that long.
Okay. Well, yeah. I thought I was going to say you looked
some
really
might remember
good.
Mrs. Holloway, who did it for 25 years, and she retired at 85 years old.
I'll tell you what, the restaurateurs
in this
city.
She was great. She was great.
The restaurateurs in this city that have been around a while, they definitely remember her. She had some gravitas in this city.
Yes, she did. Now, you know, I did start off as a sports writer at the Tulsa World when I got out of the military.
Did you ever run across this guy covering sports?
A little bit, yeah, a few times.
I was always broadcasting Tulsa games, and Scott was at different beats, but we were starting in some press boxes together.
We had some press box dinners and lunches and and I hear they're better now than they were.
Well, we need to do one of your blogs on that.
Yeah, exactly.
When I write my book at the end of my career, one whole chapter is going to be called "Stories from the Road." One whole chapter is going to be on Press Box Food.
Yeah, I mean, did you ever go to Kansas State when they did the whole pig?
Yes.
That was always a treat.
Yeah, he was reviewing food when he was writing sports.
Yep.
Well, take us through the process. I mean, I read that you've reviewed, the Tulsa World says you reviewed more than 90 restaurants last year. So I guess if you figure in vacations and holidays, that's roughly two a week, right?
Yes, and it's varied over the years. There were two or three years I did four a week, and there were a couple of years I did three a week, and right now it's two a week. But regardless, it keeps you busy. And I think my wife and I kind of counted it up. Not one by one, but kind of figured it out. I think we've been to over 2,000 different restaurants in the Tulsa area.
Wow.
Of course, a lot, you know, there might be one place that's had five restaurants in it. But,
sure. Right.
But that happens.
Yeah. Well, take us through the process then. What is reviewing a restaurant like for you? What steps do you go through?
Okay. Well, for me, I think I've figured out over the years, I have more than one audience. There's the foodies or the people in the restaurant business and the people who like to hang around the people in the restaurant business.
That's me.
And many or most of them are excellent cooks in their own right. And then judging by the numbers we get, of course, you know, we get numbers now because of the computer age. Mm. There can't be that many thousands of foodies out there. So I figure there's a whole big audience that are just people that want to know what's going on, where to go, what it's like.
Right.
So when I go in, that's kind of the tack I take. I try to find something that maybe the foodies would be interested in without getting too technical, because I've seen reviews where they just talk about the technical side and how it came out and how it was probably cooked. And to me, that gets boring after a while.
Sure.
And then the main thing I try to do is for people who've never been there, just give them a feel of what it might be like when they go, kind of what the atmosphere is, probably what kind of price point they're looking at, kind of what the food's like, kind of a general overview. Mm. And if a place has like a signature dish, I try to order that and then pick some other things. And it depends on how many people I have with me, too.
But, so if you've been doing this 20 years, though, in this city, how do you keep from being recognized, or do you even try?
Well, I do, but it's more difficult. It's not hard, and I usually only review a chain, for instance, the very first time it comes to town.
Okay,
it'd have to be a remarkable reason to go back again. But the locals, you know, they move around. They open and close different restaurants. The chefs move around. The servers for sure move around. Mm-hmm. And maitre d's and hostesses and whatnot. And so, yes, those, the local places that have been around a while or the local people that have been around, it's very difficult to go into those places. Sometimes I can get in there and it may be halfway through dinner before they notice that I'm there. Sometimes it's as soon as I walk in the door. But yeah. It just depends. But you're right. It does get more difficult.
You said you go with your wife?
Almost always, yeah.
I have to ask, you've been to all these places, and as you mentioned, so many of them come in and go. What is gone that you really miss?
Oh, golly. There are so many. I mean, I bet literally hundreds. It's hard to pick one because I every year at the end of the year, I do a roundup. And so I've started publishing my top tens I think I started doing them in roughly 2003 or four. Doing a top 10 or 12 at the end of the year. And I go back and look at those, and a huge amount of them are gone.
Yeah.
I mean, almost.
It's about a 50-50 proposition.
At best.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, I miss the green onion.
The green onion.
Oh, the green onion.
God,
yeah,
I
missed
that place.
That's, you know, that the Fountains in its heyday.
Yes.
Well, it's had the same owner as the green onion for a while.
The Razor Clam is one I hear a lot.
Just outside your parking lot here, with the funny roof on it.
Yeah.
Now, but and that was our first. From what I understand, that was our first gourmet, upscale, chef-driven.
Right.
And that's another thing that's come around since I started. When I started, we had some chefs, trained chefs, but not a lot. Now they're thick. I mean, which is great.
And I have a theory about that we'll get into in just a little bit. But I want to just stay focused for a second on your process. So, okay, maybe they recognize you, maybe they don't. Do you have a notebook out? Do you take notes while you're having the meal, or you just do?
No, I have a little recorder.
Oh, you do.
Uh-huh.
I have one of those too. That's sneaky.
You know, I got Captain Midnight secret.
Do you ever have recorder. Owners try to butter you up? Do you recognize when you're getting special treatment?
Sure. I mean, and we try to ignore it. I mean, sometimes it's kind of funny. My wife or family that go with me or some friends, they get a kick out of we'll be near the halfway through dinner or something, and they start bringing over some extra little dishes or something. And the chef's just playing around with some stuff he wants y'all to try. Now, they're just giving it to other people around too, but you know, they don't do that every night. So.
Right.
So we just ignore that, you know, whatever they put out. Anything that comes free, we don't write about.
As part of your process, and I think what Dan's asking is fascinating, you say you have other people there with you. And I've read you, certainly I do all the time. And you mentioned kind of their thing, too. But do you try everything they have, or how much weight do you put in what they think?
And how much weight do you put on, period?
Well, luckily I don't eat as much as I used to in one sitting. So okay. I hold it off pretty good. Both. I mean, I do. Yeah, I do. That's one of the things. If you go eat with me, you got to give me your food. So, or at least part of it. So they all know that. But then I also take their opinion, you know. And especially like, and even kids. You know, I have grandkids, and... And if they're eating a kid's meal, I'll ask them what they think about it. You know? And they're honest.
Yeah. If you like the meal enough, will you take home leftovers?
I always take home leftovers.
Do you?
Yeah. But like I said, I used to be able to clear it. 20 years ago, I could clear the table. Now, I eat about half of what. But then again, like you say, I'm nibbling on everybody else's. So
exactly.
So we usually take home. So that's usually my lunch the next day, too.
I know you get some of these questions all the time, and Rick's kind of gotten on to one of them there, but what is your current go-to recommendation if somebody is asking, hey, I want to go out and try someplace new tonight, where should I go?
Oh, someplace new. Well, it's all relative new.
Yeah, true.
Right now, we just went to the Vista, the boathouse,
yes,
at the Gathering Place. Really nice. Really nice. Great. You know, anyone can go, anyone at the park. So there'd be people maybe dressed up for a special occasion. There'd be people in shorts and a tank top.
And the menu while it's fancy, it's very accessible. There's not anything on there I don't think most people would recognize. And the price point's pretty good, too.
It's pretty good, yeah. You can eat for – you can get a sandwich for $10 or you can spend $30 on a steak but and everything in between. So it's not large, but it's well thought out and there's variety. And it's just the views, the atmosphere. And you can go sit out on the outlook area if you want. And then they got the patio, and it overlooks the green where they have concerts and whatnot. And it's just a very pleasant, lovely place to eat. And it's probably the newest. But in the last year or two, you know, if you haven't been to Peacemaker downtown, got to do that for crab and lobster. And
the Hush Puppies.
Oh, yeah, my Hush goodness. Puppies. And Amelia's. It's more than a year old now, but it's very interesting.
Amelia's there in the Arts District.
Right.
At Settee, which was two doors down from Amelia's, was fantastic. They've already closed, and I guess Amelia's is taking over that space for catering now.
Yes, and they're also going to have – I don't know if they've announced the what kind of restaurant is. They're going to have – I think they're going to have restaurant
– Their own restaurant.
Their own restaurant in there, but it'll be different than the Wood Fire Grill. It'll be something – some other concept. That
gotcha. It's an 8 a.m. in-depth hour on this Friday. We're pleased to have with us Scott Cherry, the restaurant critic for the Tulsa World. If you have a question you want to ask about restaurants, about food, about the process of being a restaurant critic, maybe how do you get to be one? That's my question. We hit the open mic button on your KRMG app or send us a text at 95920.
We tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes, all day. Now, back to the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. in-depth hour on News 102.3 KRMG.
Not for Keeney, Pettuccini, Bulgur Wheat, but a big one bon and a huge
hug. Yeah. Cheeseburger in paradise. Had to play this one this week. It's the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. in-depth hour. Dan Potter, Rick Corey with Tulsa World restaurant critic Scott Cherry. That gives us the entree to ask, what is the best burger in Tulsa? And now we're treading on some very sensitive ground, Scott Cherry.
Okay. You might imagine the most common question I ever get, I always get, is what is the best this? What is the best steak? What is the best salad? What is the best anything?
Right.
And I always have to backtrack off of that because I don't have a best. I have a number of them that I like. I mean, and it's so very difficult. It depends. It just always depends on what you're in the mood for. And to say that one place cooks a steak better than another place every time is folly. I mean, that's just not realistic.
Right.
You may get a great one time and go back and it's more mediocre the next time, and then you go to another place and the same thing. Sure. So I get off of that, where's the best? But I can tell you places I like. Okay. You know, that's I can go there.
Some of your favorite burger
but
places
I like,
are?
It may be generational, but I tend to like the older, real hamburger joints.
The Claude's, the Bill's, the
Bill's
Weber's.
Jumbo, Weber's, Ted's over by Central High School.
They're all
in a way, kind of the same. I mean, you get that flavor that's only unique to those that you don't find.
From a griddle that's been used for decades.
I mean, you know, you're not going to get that flavor at Red Robin. You know, you might get some fancy ingredients on it, but that flavor is unique. And it's what I still, of course, it's, you know, what I grew up with. But I also like some of the new places. The Fat Guys.
Mm-hmm.
By the ballpark and out south. And
peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
The peanut butter bacon burger Thai style.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I also like the one where that shoots the hot cheese out from the middle.
The Juicy Lucy.
Yeah. I always mess it up. I always leave like a mess with that one. I like some of the new places too.
But, I bet you were happy Arnold's was able to stay around in one form or the other.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And they'll be there. Their new building should be ready in a year and back. And you know, Lindemar out there is good.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of good hamburger places if you just you know, look around. But to say there's a favorite one, it's like, what am I closest to?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. No, I get it, especially when it comes to steaks. One of the best steaks I've had in the city, at Siggy's, the German restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic steaks.
I'll tell you what, we had, I mean, this is, you know, It's always best when you're not expecting it. There was a, I think it's still there, I'm not sure, but a truck stop out off, and you're coming into town on I-44, one of the big truck stops that had like an all-night restaurant. I haven't been there in years, so I couldn't even tell you if it's still there. We went for like breakfast one morning and got a breakfast steak, and it was unbelievable. I mean, it was flavorful, it was seasoned, it was as tender as you could ask for a steak to be, and you think, wasn't expecting that, you know? And it was like $12.
Well, to that point, you remember the Anthony Bourdain where they took him to Waffle House?
Yeah,
because he had just trashed it, and they took him there for the pecan, I think it was pancakes, and he just lavished. You don't. It's sure. not always what you expect. Sometimes it's just better than you think.
Yeah. And it's always more because you know it's hard. You want to go without any expectations, but that's not human. You're going to go thinking, oh, this is going to be good. And then if it's not what you tend to think, oh, that's
all about your expectations.
And then you go not expecting much, and then it blows you away, and you think, well, that's good. So
I've got to get some of these open mics here.
Where can I find fried chicken that's the closest to the Golden Drumstick from years ago?
My son and I have a thing whenever he's in town. We go looking for the best fried chicken. We're not going to do the best, as you just said, but to that gentleman's point, where would you go to find some pretty good fried chicken?
I would go to Evelyn's out by the airport, about the out by the Air and Space Museum. It's kind of hard to find. It doesn't really have much of a sign or anything. It's back in there, I think, by Sparks.
Right next to the executive Sparks Aviation. Airport. Yeah. Yeah.
And she's been around as Wanda J's since the 70s, and they know how to cook chicken. It's probably my favorite one. I haven't had it in a while, but the chicken at the celebrity restaurant is awfully good, too. Yeah.
I've noticed the pieces getting a little bit smaller at celebrity, but the flavor is still there.
Oh, yeah. I think it's still pan-fried, and it's pretty good, yeah.
Mr. Terry, do you think that the original owners of Shotgun Sam's will ever try to bring that back besides that ill-fated and short-lived clone that was kind of started up and closed by a third party a few years ago?
Yeah, they went pretty quick into that dark restaurant night. You see Shotgun Sam's coming back in any form?
Well, certainly not from the original owners. One of them sadly passed away 2 or 3 years ago. And the other one is either retired or semi-retired, and I think he's probably in his late 70s or early 80s. So I think it's a pretty good bet they're not going to bring that back.
This one's similar. No, I've already gotten that one. Shawarma. I'll say La Roma, certainly, but, well, they want to know.
Where I can get a good shawarma somewhere in the Tulsa area.
Certainly with all the Lebanese influence, Middle Eastern influence in this area, there's got to be a place.
Some of our favorite food. Yeah. We really like the Mediterranean, Middle Eastern cuisine. La Roma, even though, again, sadly, the father passed away a few years ago. Katia and her mother, Suhana, kept it going, and it's terrific. Their pizza is good, too, but that's good. And then Shawkat's. Has a, you know, they've had a new owner.
Yes.
I lose track of time. It's probably been 3 or 4 years ago. Seems like yesterday, but. And she's carried it on quite well. Those are probably the two right off.
Scott Cherry is our guest. Our top story on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter. We are going in depth this hour with restaurant reviewer for the Tulsa World, Scott Cherry.
Issues that matter to you. Expanded on the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. in depth hour.
To me, 8:35 on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter, Dan and Rick, and Scott Cherry from the Tulsa World. We have got just so many open mics here. Let's knock out a few of these. How about this one?
I was just wondering about Jamil's Steakhouse. I know Tyrone passed away about a year or so ago, but since John and Jennifer have taken it over, it seems better than ever.
Jamil's, where you get two meals for the price of one, basically. They bring so many appetizers. I haven't been in Jamil's in quite a while. Is it? How about you?
Oh, yes, I have. Yeah, I know Jennifer and John quite well. And, yeah, there's another one of those places where you can't sneak into. You know,
right.
And her Uncle Steve, who came over from Eddie's after it closed, he's working at Jamil's now. And you're right, it is. And those places are really disappearing fast. The Lebanese steakhouses where you get all of the hors d'oeuvres.
Silver Flame is
Freddy's.
Now Tally's.
Yeah,
Freddy's?
Freddy's out on towards Edmund Sepulpa, and there's one in Manford. And then here, I guess Jamil's is the only one left in town. And there used to be several.
Goodness, is it the only one left?
I believe so.
I think wow.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
In Tulsa. But yeah, it's still – and you know what? They still do a really good steak, and they – and they're not generally quite as pricey as some of the brand-new spots, and we still enjoy going there.
If you are new to Tulsa, if you haven't been to a Lebanese Steakhouse, let me tell you how it works. They bring out this plate of appetizers that has ribs on it and tabbouleh on it and
hummus
and pita bread, and it is a meal in and of itself. And you eat that, and then they bring out your steak and your baked potato and whatever else you got with it. But it's a huge, huge
It's
meal.
Terrific.
Great show. I would like to hear some thoughts about the great food truck scene we have in Tulsa.
It has exploded here, hasn't it?
Oh, that's hardly the word for it.
Yeah.
And fast. Every time we look at the health department list, there's 20 more than there were. You know, 6 months ago or so.
It's got to be impossible for you to get to all
And
of those.
I have not figured out how to do that yet because there is no way I can go review 110 food trucks
right.
in a year.
Sounds you like know. You guys need a second writer,
but,
then.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
But, something on the side?
Let's talk about
that. But there's got, maybe we could do two or three at a time or something like that because we do write about them, but to actually go review them, I really have done very little of that. So, like I said, maybe to put a bunch of them together and do them all at one time that would be feasible.
Certainly some of them have gone on to become brick-and-mortar restaurants of some repute. I'm thinking of Lone Wolf Banh Mi.
Primarily,
Rub, Joel Bain's place. We've got several of them. And some that have gone the other way. They've had restaurants and they've seen how well the food trucks have done, so they've started their own trucks.
Well, you know, it's a pretty economical way to get into the business if you're just starting out too. So you know the output isn't as bad as trying to get a sidewalk brick and mortar place. It's not as expensive, obviously, and you kind of find out if you want to do it. Kind of like the Kitchen 66 program at the Mother Road Market now.
Yeah.
You know, people do that to find out if they really want to get in the business or not.
And if the product that they're offering is going to
sell.
Yeah.
But this is a great segment. I'd love to hear Scott tell us how he got started in reviewing restaurants and if he's had any special training. Thank you.
Yes, me too. How'd you get started?
Oh, boy, that's a long story, and I'm going to really try to condense it here because I know our time's short. As I mentioned, I was a sports writer for a number of years. And then, and I'll make this quick. There was a time in my life when I became a single parent with two little kids. And so I had to learn to cook. And so I had not been that interested in it before, cooking. But then I got interested. And then I found out it's fun. Then I get a cookbook. And I get the Better Home and Garden cookbook. And I start cooking recipes and making bread. And so then I got even more into it. And started going to. I'm not formally trained at a school, but I've gone to many seminars and cooking classes and just cooked, you know. So then I had an opportunity to move from sports into doing the food writer, which is basically writing about cooking. And so that even gave me more and more experience with food, and then as it happened, I did that for 6 or 7 years maybe, and you know I did some stuff on TV and at the fair, and I was always scary to do that, but but you know, you did it. And then I had an opportunity when Mrs. Holloway retired. The managing editor at the time, or executive editor, Joe Worley, he had me in his office, and he said, "Would you be interested in taking over this job?" And I said, "Well, yeah." But you know, that brings up another point, though. I do want to emphasize. So many people say, "Golly, I wish I had your job." You know, you have the best job in the world.
It's maybe not the job they think it is.
Maybe not. And that's my opinion. I think everybody's job is harder than other people think it is. I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
You know, and in this case, they don't realize that, you know, I work a normal day's working roughly 10 to 6. A lot of days I'm working 10 to 7, 8, 9.
Because
I work on days off, you know, and they don't realize you know, do you really want to put in 50 hours a week, you know, on your job like we do sometimes?
Yeah.
And it's typical.
They don't understand that you do a lot of reporting for Tulsa Scene beyond just restaurant reviews.
Oh, sure. All of us scene writers do. We write, you know, feature stories for the cover and extra stories. We do a 5 to find every week, and we pass that around. And we do. I've written about dog trainers and master carpenters and you know, you name it. And it's fun. It gets you out of your normal routine. Now with today, you know, you've got a blog and tweet.
Yep.
If news comes in, you got to stop what you're doing and blog it. And it's not that it takes a long time, but it may take you 15 minutes. It may take an hour.
Yeah. Well, social media has expanded all of our views and our time.
And there's what? It's made everybody a restaurant critic, too.
It has.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the restaurants love that.
No, they don't.
Said no one ever.
Before we go to the break here, I mentioned earlier, I have a theory about why this has become such a chef-driven town and why we have so many good restaurants and food trucks. And I think you can tie it directly back to OSUIT and to Platt Culinary College. I think we have two institutions in this area that are turning out very well-trained cooks that are on their way to becoming good chefs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're impressive. And I've been to both of them quite frequently over the years, visiting and whatnot, and meeting the chefs that are the instructors. And some of the best chefs around are teaching those kids. And so they've put out a lot of people around town. It probably is tied to that, but still, in addition to that, we have way more Culinary Institute of America, Cordon Bleu, all of those high level schools.
Johnston and Wales.
We've had, and there's a way more of those too. Hmm. So it's been, I don't know. Is it trendy? Is it a job market gets trendy?
I'm sure
I don't know.
I think a city does.
Are they fine? Or there's
a city gets trendy, right? And people want to come.
And also, you're looking for work. I mean, you can always find work.
Yeah, you can. Restaurant staffs are notoriously flaky.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Let's say they move around a lot.
Okay, let's just say that. But in their defense, too. Restaurant pay in this city probably isn't where it should be either.
No, you wonder why these guys that do go off come back, but maybe it's just because they're hometown, because they can make more money in a lot of other places.
That's true.
We tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes, all day. Now, back to the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour on News 102.3 KRMG.
Waking up too early, maybe we could sleep. Make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the weekend.
Good morning, we're having waffles. 8:51, the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter. Rick Corey is here. It's the 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour this Friday, talking food with Tulsa restaurant critic Scott Cherry of the Tulsa World. Okay, I promised I would ask the vegetable question first. So, good veggies in Tulsa. I used to love a place in Texas, and I guess you had them up here until before I moved up here. Black Eyed Pea had great vegetable side dishes.
Yeah, I was known for that, yeah.
She was looking for somewhere southwest. Don't know if we're going to be able to help there.
If we can go southwest. We were talking on the break there that we all agreed that Sweet Lisa's in North Tulsa has great veggies. And I'm going to give you another one that's truly a hidden gem. Mm. And I'm going to review it. I went there this week. I'm going to review it next week. kind of came up on the spur of the moment. But it is the VFW Post 577.
What?
Where they serve brunch on 11 to 1 Wednesday and Thursday. They serve Saturday morning breakfast, and they're just starting a Sunday brunch, I think 10 to 2.
No kidding.
Or 10 to 1. And the lady who's doing it is Debbie Higgs. And if you ever went to a Route 66 diner, that was Debbie Higgs since the 1988. She was in a few different locations. And she does a buffet, $7, all you can eat. And she always has like 6 veggies and 3 or 4 entrees.
And where's the Post at again?
It's about 6th and Peoria.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah.
Tommy Thompson and our friends over there.
Yeah, Tommy's active in that group. We've known Tommy for years.
Yeah, he was one of my coaches in high school. Quickly before we go to the next one, I just got this text.
Okay.
It says, "Hey Rick, terrific show with the incomparable Scott Cherry, Dave Sittler."
Oh no. Another old sports guy. Yeah.
That's terrific.
We worked together for years.
Yep.
I have said on this show many times that it surprises me Tulsa does not have an iconic ice cream parlor like Ted Drew's in St. Louis or Whitey's where I grew up in the Quad Cities. Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know, because for 15 minutes we did. Ida Red in the Tulsa Arts District did it right.
Yeah.
They did all the right ingredients, all of the you know, the phosphate with the real acid.
Yeah, real soda.
That you have to, it comes in a little blue bottle and you only get it out of Canada, I think.
Wow.
And that's the real stuff they used to make it with.
Yeah.
And now, when Candy Castle first opened, it did too. I think they changed hands, and I've heard they're going more emphasis on ice cream, but they may still be doing it correctly too. But why? I don't know. I mean, Ida Red's closed theirs this year.
Yeah.
And I love them.
Of course, we got Brahms. We've got Freckles. Somebody recommended Scoops and Grinds in Collinsville. These are places that but it just seems like there should be some place that started in the 40s that's still scooping up the same ice cream now.
Yeah, because we had them in the 40s and 50s. But I wish I could answer that question.
Got to get one more quick question in from the open mics.
This is for Scott. Is there any place in Tulsa to find onion rings like Pennington's used to have?
Oh, onion rings are a weakness of mine.
Well, in a word, I'm going to say there probably is, but I'm going to say no. Because no matter where you go and eat them, it isn't going to taste like Pennington's.
Yep.
Yeah. It's the same. If anybody makes a black bottom pie, it isn't going to taste like Pennington. That's why they always say, you know, when they bring back a restaurant after years back and people go and they say, well, that's not the same as it was when I remembered it when I was 13 or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And it's never going to taste the same. But, same with Eastside Cafe onion rings. Now, Freeway Cafe makes a version of it that's pretty good. But Pennington's, I don't really run across any places quite like that.
For those of us who haven't had Pennington's, I know we're really late here, but what was it about Pennington's onion rings?
Oh, it was just the breading and the crispiness and the onion doesn't fall out of the batter. It's... And I don't know, it's just they were sweet and it's
– They were cooked perfectly. They weren't greasy. And they were always really hot when they got to your car.
Oh, yeah. And so, sometimes it's hard to put your finger on that. And so that's why I say it's almost impossible to duplicate some of those.
Scott, things. We're going to have to do this a lot more often, man. Thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. You guys have too much fun here.
Scott, we have food today, too. Scott Cherry.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.